Welcome back, DGS 403. It's time for the Think Tank. We have Mike Elam and my birthday twin, Alvin Reed, both born on September 6th.
Yep, 1960 for me. How about you?
64.
All right. I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I went to the ball game with my son and went up into the broadcast booths, went to both radio and television. It was really nice.
I guess you're connected. I guess you can do that.
Yeah, you know.
All right, man. I saw a ball game, but that wasn't until Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. So Friday night, I went to the ELO concert.
Nice. How was it?
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. I had seen him 6 years ago up in Chicago when my daughter was in college. Then, because I went to the Illinois KU football game in Champaign on Saturday, I had forgotten, because I got the tickets to the ELO concert in March, I forgot. And, you know, so I had a hotel room reserved. So I went to the concert and then drove. Hmm. I stayed outside of Champaign, not as young as I used to be. All right, so I got there a little bit after midnight, and I went to the KU Illinois football game on Saturday night, and then I drove up to Chicago and saw the Cubs and the Yankees
play.
Wow. And drove back yesterday morning.
So very nice.
Made a little road trip, just me.
How was KU represented at the
They had a lot of fans, had more yards, had more first downs, had more time of possession, but didn't have more points when the game
won every stat except the one that matters.
And that's too bad, because KU's not known for football, but we're really looking better. And, you know, Illini's no pushover.
They're getting it together, too. And first sellout at Memorial Stadium in Champaign in I think, 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to go to any of the KU games?
I'm going to go to a few in Arrowhead, yes. Yeah. I'm not going this coming weekend, because I was just gone all weekend, and they're playing in the soccer park.
Yes.
Against UNLV. Actually, it's Friday night, too. So I am, but I'm going to go to some of the games in Arrowhead.
We should go to something sometime.
All right, man.
Go to a basketball game. Take out a small loan.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Say, who are you going to strong arm for tickets?
I'm not that connected.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Maybe Alvin?
Midweek, like big Monday, and when we're the second game, and the game will start till 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Somebody always gets in touch. They're like, hey, I got two nice ones. I said, well, what am I going to do? I mean, it's Monday. The game doesn't start till 9 o'clock. I'm not driving back. Yep. I still have a job.
We went last year on a Tuesday night and saw them play Manhattan College.
Okay.
There you go.
And still paid $100 a piece for three-fourths the way up.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
Oh, it's like $600-$700 for nice seats.
One of these days, I'll bring in my I'm on the board of K Club, and I am a Williams Fund donator. Trust me, it ain't that amount of money.
Ain't that impressive?
But I do get the, like, you know, the little portfolio that has like what you have to give to like get a parking place. Now, to get a parking place near Allen Fieldhouse for basketball, let's just say your investment has to be about $14,000, not counting the tickets.
Can I invite you guys to come out to a Lindenwood game?
That's your William Fund considered get a park.
You could have up front, stand on the sidelines for three seasons with a $14,000 donation to Lindenwood. They'll have you right there. Yeah. But I know Dr. Porter would love to have you come out. So.
Well, trust me. It'll be many, 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 many years. And a Powerball win before I could even afford season ticket.
I'll Uber from Motel 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's start. I know the debate tonight. Going to obviously talk about that. Let's start with Amendment 3. So Wheeler did a segment, which I liked, where he said, I don't care how people vote on this, whether Missouri has abortion rights or no abortion rights. I just want to see the people get their say. Do we agree with that?
Yes. I wondered how the state Supreme Court was going to rule, because as no matter what my feelings were on it, I thought they were some legitimate arguments that were being made. But I also, in reading up, I didn't know this, but in reading about past history and the reluctance to take things off of a ballot once approved, you know, I see why it made its decision.
Yeah. It's stuff like that that I enjoyed in law school. I didn't enjoy the handling the cases or the arguing and the petty fights, but I enjoyed the intellectual stuff like that. Like when you get to a state Supreme Court or the United States Supreme Court and how they're analyzing the holdings and the effects, that was really interesting stuff.
I think this is just going to be the first. I don't think this is going to be the end of this. I think it's just the next step. Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of stuff that's in this bill. it's not just abortion. There's a lot more that's in it. And I think it's kind of like Clean Missouri when that happened.
Yeah.
It went through the first time and everybody thought they were voting on one thing. And then once it got done, they went, wow, well, I didn't really want that. So I think you're going to have a second bite of the apple that's going to happen. It may be another 2 years. It may be another 4 years. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see this ending. And I still think eventually there's going to be another federal law that's going to happen. And it's going to trump all this. But, you know, it's good to finally get some finality. Mm-hmm. And we know what's going to be on the ballot.
Do you think there will be a federal abortion law regardless of who's in power? If it's the Democrats, they're going to put something in codifying the right to abortion and the other way?
I think if the Democrats are in, yes. If the Republicans are in, no. Because Trump doesn't want it. So Trump's not going to push it, and he's going to make sure that there's not a federal. But
yeah.
I think if Harris wins, if Trump wins, he's going to get the House and the Senate. I think he's going to have all three. But if Harris wins, I'm not so sure it's going to be the same, and I don't think anything's going to get done.
I would let's say Trump doesn't win, and people are trying to figure out why, and the abortion issue is right there at the top of the list, then I think even Republicans would say, like, this is one scrap we got to take off the table, because this is about the only thing many will see holding us back, especially if there's Donald Trump is not your candidate 4 years from now. And if I'm running for Congress or I'm running for Senate 2 years from now and Trump has lost and this whole debate is coming up again, I might be a little closer to saying, let's just do this.
I know none of us know, but if Donald Trump loses and there's no January 6th and he just kind of goes away, do you think the Republican Party takes that opportunity to purge MAGA, or do you think that it's still a thing 4 years from now?
I think it's still going to be a thing 4 years from now. It just may not be as strong as it is right now. I mean, I think you saw in Missouri with the governor's race, Bill Igel overperformed huge in the governor's race. Everybody thought he had a ceiling of about 20%, and he ends up posting 33%. So that segment of the party is dyed in the wool. They're there.
Not going anywhere.
Those are their folks. I was just having a conversation with a lady last night. We had a county council meeting in St. Charles, and I ended up talking to her for 2 hours. And that section of the party is her section. And, man, they are fired up, and they see stuff other people may not see, right? But they're not going anywhere. So I definitely think there's going to be that part of the party that is there. But if Trump's not there to be the standard bearer, I'm curious to see who would step in and be that.
Have the Reagan Republicans, the moderate Republicans that held sway for so long, are they still a coalesced group, or are they scattered to the wind?
I think they're still a coalesced group. I just think one of the things that maybe I didn't foresee it, but I kind of knew it was always there. This base, you know, that is voting for Trump, it wasn't invented. Okay, it has always been there.
Interesting point.
Water finds where it wants to go, and it found this path. Okay, now it won't be like the stream won't be dammed up, but it will change. And I think the moderate Republican wing is still there. It still hasn't disappeared. It's trying to find its path to high water again. But I think ultimately it will.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like we talked about this, I think the last time I was here, the Democratic Party is finding its way back to the center. And it's depending on, it really doesn't even depend on how the election goes. You can tell right now that, okay, all this wildness is coming to an end. Ask Cori Bush. Ask my man up in New York. Ask some of these other politicians. They're like, look, enough is enough. Comes the day. And I think that day is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which 2 years ago, maybe,
I have been saying for years that the first party to go to the middle wins. And it seems that that's what the Democrats have done with Kamala. And it seems to be working.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at what happened 2 years ago in the midterms, if on January the 1st of 2023, Joe Biden had said, like, I'm not running for president 2 years from now, and my advice to you is to find a very, very, very centrist, moderate, governor of Minnesota mm-hmm. kind of guy to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think we would be having this discussion about a close race at
so
this time.
It's interesting that you guys just said Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are moving to the center. Mm-hmm. These are two of the most liberal in their history. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kamala Harris was far left mm-hmm. until about a month ago, mm-hmm. right? All of a sudden,
no
everything
argument.
That she has no, stood for,
yeah.
for the last 25 years of her political career, suddenly she doesn't agree with any of that anymore. Now she agrees with all the stuff that the people in the center agree with. I'm not apt to believe the fact that I should ignore her entire history of where she's voted. I mean, she has a liberal voting record in the Senate that is left of Bernie Sanders. And now she's saying, oh, but now I'm reformed. Well, you just got reformed when you got a cup of coffee the other day. Like, up until then, you had these far positions. Tim Walz was the most liberal governor, except for maybe Gavin Newsom in California, and that's what they're putting forward. I don't think that's moving to the center. Now, they're using center platitudes, but I mean, it's kind of like, don't believe everything that I've done up until now. Believe what I'm telling you from this point.
Hasn't Trump changed a lot in the last 20 years?
I don't think Trump, over the last 20 years, yes, but not
that's
over,
what I mean, right? I mean, you change based on who you're representing. So if you're representing the San Francisco area of California, you're going to be very progressive because the people you're representing want you to be.
She's been progressive while she's been in the White House for
well,
the last
but she's not making policy. Is that?
She's the vice president.
But you're talking, Mike, you're talking about the voting record. She does not vote as a vice president.
But she pushes
her voting record as a person in Senate.
For policy.
No, I get it. But you're talking about the voting record. If the voting record is that it's probably because I'm not saying that she's not being a cynical politician. She is. She's changed whatever
what
she's
I'm saying
changing.
Is she's lobbying for the same policies that she voted for in the past. She has been lobbying for those policies.
Yeah, it's fine.
Listen to all of her speeches that she's
but
been
if
making
we're talking
around the
about
country.
Politicians who change their mind and do these things, we're just talking all day about everybody.
But Trump hasn't changed what his policies
are.
Let me
ask you something.
Years.
Do you think Donald Trump, what percentage of the stuff that Donald Trump says do you think he believes?
I think he believes everything that he says.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I think he does.
I don't think he understands a lot of what he says.
Donald Trump wanted
to be president. I mean, the speech about child care the other day, he didn't know what he was talking about at all.
Donald Trump wanted to be president of the United States, and he became president of the United States based on the fact that he saw where his votes were. I don't think he believes 75% of this nonsense he speaks at the time.
I disagree with that.
I
agree with Kevin that he has evolved over his career because 30 years ago, when he's sitting on the couch with Oprah, he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I agree that people evolve over their lifetime.
And they do it for self-interest, right? I'm not saying that Kamala has changed. I'm saying she's doing it in her interest to become president.
I agree. And I think this election is really going to... I was just talking to Annie Fry about this a while ago. This is the most clear-cut choice for president I have ever seen in my entire life. You have an A-B test that we have all lived through over the last 8 years. You had 4 years of Trump, and you saw, okay, here's what this guy did. Here's what my life was like while he was president. Here's the last 3.5 years of Biden-Harris and the policies they've done, and this is what my life is like now. It's very simple. Do you want how your life was 4 years ago, or do you want how your life is now? It's A-B, and it really doesn't matter what they say at this point, in my opinion, going forward. Everybody in America knows this is what my life was like. This is what it's like now. Do I want more of this,
or do I
want to go
well,
back
see,
to that?
See, this is the thing that bothers me about the argument on this, because all of this stuff is connected and has been through every presidency, right? So some of the stuff that Bill Clinton benefited from was because of things that Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush did. Some of the things that George W. Bush benefited from were because of things that Bill Clinton did. These things are interconnected. They don't just change in four-year cycles. So some of what existed in Trump's first term was in part because of what happened before. Some of what's happening now, good, is because of what Trump did. So good and bad. And the good and the bad are interchangeable. There's no like 4-year window where we stop, this thing all changes, and then we go. It's all connected
Can
to
I tell
what happened
you,
before.
My biggest fear about Trump is that when he was elected president the first time, he tried to be president.
He did.
And he was surrounded by good, smart, solid people. And he fired them all. I believe this time you're going to see the MyPillow guy being Secretary of State.
I don't think you will. I think he has learned from what he went through with that, and I think he saw that he paid the price for it. I mean, he's not there anymore. And I think he saw that he paid a price for it. And I think he surrounded himself now with better people. And I think he has better advisors. I mean, I agree with you. He brought in a rock star cabinet when he first came in. The thing that he did with that cabinet, though, and the reason why I think partially that didn't work, partially is because Trump's just a hard guy to work for. But the other thing he did is he brought in a lot of people who were like him. They were used to being the person who says you're fired. They were used to running ExxonMobil, right? So when you're running that big of a company, you're used to being the guy and not working for someone else. He brought in a lot of people who were in his cabinet originally who were all used to being the guy. They were at the top of the food chain. They weren't used to doing that. And I don't think he can have that kind of cabinet. I think he's got to bring in players who understand their role. It's kind of like the Michael Jordan Bulls, right? Jordan was awesome by himself, scored 63 against the Celtics, lost. He wasn't himself until he brought in Scottie Pippen, John Paxton, B.J. Armstrong, all of these guys, where he had role players who fit that role, who complemented him and took the team to win six championships. I think that's what Trump has got to have. He's got to come in.
I hope you're right.
And he's got to have role players that are there.
I don't see any indications of that, but no. I hope you're right.
I mean, but he also had a Hall of Fame coach and another two or three Hall of Fame players around him. It's not like it was just one star and a bunch of scrubs.
But he didn't make it until he brought in the
role players. Well, he didn't bring in anybody. Jerry Krause did. So you got a Hall of Fame general manager that brought in a Hall of Fame coach in Phil Jackson, who built around the Hall of Fame player Michael Jordan by adding another Hall of Fame playing player like Scottie Pippen. So
it started as a good analogy.
Yeah,
just took it.
I'm just saying, if he does that, if he can bring in, if he's Jordan, or he would be Jerry Krause in this case, he'd be the guy that's pulling the strings.
Right.
If you could bring in Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, yeah, you're going to win.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 426. We have Mike Elam and Alvin Reed. Rach, you get starstruck with Alvin here from Donnybrook?
Sometimes, yeah, a little bit.
I do, too. I was watching you the other night. I'm like, I know that guy.
Oh, come on now.
I know that guy.
Right, you know that guy. Says like, what is he talking about?
I love the aesthetic of Donnybrook. I really do. But there's a reason it's so successful.
Well, we have, be it the table, the setting and all that, it is purposely not changed, mm-hmm. really, because I think once people recognize it, and we don't change, you know, the people that are on the panel all that often. But when we have guests, they see the same thing. They say, like, golly, you know, people, one thing they say, it's really cool that you were on Donnybrook. What is the set like? Is it really like that? It's like, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. I put the Gemini space capsule up there. That was my doing, because I said we should talk more about the space program in St. Louis. So that was my one addition, the only addition I've made to the set.
There was a lady I saw in next door the other day who was posting about Donnybrook, and she goes, we need a Donnybrook-type program in St. Charles. And I was like, I don't think you can have a second Donnybrook. Donnybrook is
We have
thing,
talked
man.
About, and this was before the pandemic, okay? But we had talked about doing a show, like, we know we do the live show at the Sheldon, but maybe, you know, do a show in St. Charles with a live audience.
That.
Or do it, you know, I said, like, we had the Performing Arts Center now in Kirkwood. Do a show in Kirkwood. And, you know, like, sell make it a fundraiser for Channel 9, you know, let's, you know, and do it like that. But, you know, like
you
I said,
do it at the Scheidegger Center at Lindenwood. They've got all the cameras set up. It's all HD.
Why don't you do it?
Yeah, let's make it happen.
So it was literally, basically, the pandemic happened, and all those plans obviously went on hold. So, you know,
I'll bring it up to Dr. Porter. I'm having lunch with him next week.
We would really like to do it, and we wanted to do one on the Metro East Side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd probably do it in Belleville or something like that. And I always thought that would be a really good idea.
I'm
great at spending other people's money. you know, like, right. And then if you're supposed to be like, you know, we have pledged twice a year where we beg for money, right? So it's easy for me to say, like, hey, come on, you guys. Yeah, you know, 12 hours and someplace else and blah, 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 blah. But I would like to do that. I really would.
You
I'd like to
it.
Take it on the road. I would.
Enjoy the debate tonight. We'll talk to you guys soon. Quick break. Right back.
Thanks.